This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Just before we begin, it is my great honor to invite all of you to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on November 18th at 6:30 p.m. That'll be a Wednesday. We're going to hear our brother and our friend, an anointed man of God, Scott Merson, show you a video with commentary, and it'll be backed up by the scripture. These videos, this message that he's going to give you, actually shows you God's open heaven, spiritual entities all about right here in the spiritual physical realm, spiritual dimension in the physical realm. And I like to call it Scott and his supernatural camera. It is awesome, and it will bless you. It'll also help you develop the spirit of discernment so you will not be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. So I want to invite all of you to come and be richly blessed and grow. November 18th, 6:30 p.m. Scott Merson and the Supernatural Camera. Now I want to say one more thing. For those of you who are calling me long distance, I love you with all my heart. Right now I'm not able to return long distance calls. I do this by faith and I don't get a salary. But keep calling. Leave your prayer requests. Leave your questions. When I finish teaching Revelation, I'm going to add my segment that I used to have of questions and answers called Mystery Moment. And hopefully I'll be able to answer your questions then. God bless you and I love each one of you. So keep calling and just leave your prayer requests and message. And now, Revelation 14, verse 1. You might entitle this chapter Hope. We need some hope after studying Revelation 13 last time. Revelation 13 is one of the most magnificent chapters in all of God's Word. It gives us, we might call it, the story of two beasts. The first beast is the political system, the one world government, preparing for the soon coming Antichrist. The one world government is already in structure. The second beast, sometimes called the religious spirit, sometimes called the false prophet, is the Antichrist instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on, two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. And we learned last week that he has a mark, but it's not a computer chip, it's not a tattoo, it's not a magic marker. It means that a person would be deceived in their brain, which is in your forehead, by his lie. Because remember, he's coming back as Theosata in the Greek, God Savior. And you would be doing his work, which is signified by the mark in the right hand, if you're telling others that this is the Savior. So we learned about that, and now we're going to have hope. Now, to understand the book of Revelation, Jesus is dictating this to John for us at the end times. Sometimes he gives us a scene at different times, back in the first earth age when Satan rebelled, that was Revelation 12, out in the future, sometimes on earth and sometimes in heaven. Chapter 14 begins right here on earth, right now where you are. Now keep one thing in mind, there are seven trumps actions before Jesus comes. The fifth trump is sounding right now. I am blowing that trumpet. It's a time of learning that you be not deceived. The sixth trump will be the Antichrist. We studied that in Revelation 13, six seals, six trumps, six vials. And then at the seventh, Jesus will come. So keep that in mind. Revelation 14, verse 1.
Chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000.
Okay. Now, the Mount Zion will be Jerusalem, and you know the Lamb is the Passover Lamb who took away our sins. At this point, when this is written, Jesus will have returned. The seventh trump will have sounded, so we move into that. The Antichrist's time will have finished, and Jesus comes, and he comes and lands in Jerusalem. Now, Hebrews 12 verifies this. He says he's coming to Mount Zion, the Lamb, to Jerusalem, and he's bringing with him an innumerable company of angels. Angels of the manuscript, children of God minus the flesh. So first of all, we see that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring an innumerable group of people with him. Some are going to stay in heaven, we're going to find tonight, today, and some are going to be with him. But who are the 144,000? To understand this, you must understand that this is a symbol of numerology in the Bible. 144,000 signifies the whole of God's people, W-H-O-L-E. Just like you need to know about the 7,000 elect, the only small group that will not ever bow the knee to Satan. Romans 11 tells us that 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Baal. So, we automatically have the 7,000, but now who are the 144,000? All right. When the very elect, the 7,000, who will not bow the knee, seven is God's perfect number, so it's not a literal number. It means those who have perfected the truth in their spirits. When the elect are delivered up to this Antichrist who comes before Jesus, when the Holy Spirit speaks through us, whatever we say, these 144,000 are God's people. They are the 12 tribes of Israel, and many Christians are in those 12 tribes, and those who say, I love Jesus, and do love Jesus, but they have believed the lie, fly proverb, and at first this 144,000 starts to go to Antichrist thinking he's the Savior, but when the elect are delivered up, listen, elect, this is your destiny, when the 144,000, it means a lot of the Christians are going to be deceived when they hear what we say, which will be the truth, they run away from Satan, they repent while they are still in their flesh bodies, and they are saved. Now, if they wait until we do the body change, which we shall do very shortly when Jesus comes, remember 1 Corinthians 15:52, we shall all change in a moment of the eye, it would be too late. As long as anyone repents while they're still in the flesh body, you can still be saved. So this is very important. So now that still does not mean every person who says I'm a Christian, because he says five are wise and five are foolish. So listen, elect, those of us who plant seeds to people, we tell them about the lifeline proverb, we tell them six comes before seven, and they don't want to listen. I've had them get mad at me and walk out and write me dirty letters and call me a false prophet, and they'll say, I don't want to hear it, I'm going to fly, I don't want to be here when the Antichrist comes. But when we plant those seeds to people, when they hear us delivered up and they see the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a language the whole world will hear, those seeds are not in vain. Delay does not mean denial. Many of those, even on the sound of my voice, that you're rejecting that, you want so much, you little baby hothouse lily to fly away. And when you hear the truth, you're going to run away from Satan and bow and repent. Now, there's going to be a penalty, and the Lord will tell us about that in a little bit, but they will be saved. So here we have the picture. Jesus comes to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, the second coming. The innumerable company of angels, warriors, many people with him, Pastor Arnold Murray, I'm sure, of Shepherd's Chapel. 144,000, 7,000 elect. Now, not the lost people. Remember, there are lots of lost people on the earth, so we'll find out who else is with him.
Having his father's name written in their forehead.
The ancient manuscripts saying that these 144,000, which includes the 7,000, not only have the truth sealed in their father's forehead, but have Jesus' name in their forehead. See, remember, if you're deceived, you have the mark of the beast. You have the lie, fly proverb in your forehead. But now they just heard the truth by the elect. I told you, elect, you're important. Hallelujah. The first shall be last. You know why he chose you? Because we didn't betray him in the first 3 days when we were in our spiritual body. He knows whom he can trust.
Verse 2, And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many watchers.
Now, Revelation 17 says the waters of the people. Now, Jesus brings an entourage with him. But we find later, as we continue studying Revelation, that heaven then will be shut up for 1,000 years during that teaching. So God the Father is keeping some of his children with him. But there are people in there, and up there we hear their voice, probably my mom and dad.
And as the voice of a great thunder.
We learned a couple of lessons ago that God's voice is thunder. So we hear the people in heaven who did not come with Jesus, but they're okay. They are speaking. The thunder, God's voice is sounding.
And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps.
The orchestra, I just love it, don't you? Don't you know they're practicing right now? They're getting it together, golden harps. What they're doing is they are playing and accompanying God singing and the people singing, and then we're going to sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the chief musician.
Three, and they sung, as it were, a new song.
Now this is what we call the overcomer's song. When we get to Revelation 15 very soon, only those who overcome the temptation of Antichrist, who do not bow the knee, can sing this song. It's called the Song of Moses. When I get there, I'm going to teach you what the song is. I'm also a music teacher. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. So nobody else can sing the song because they don't overcome.
And before the four beasts and the elders.
Look who else Jesus has with him. Four beasts. Beast is a mistranslation. Creatures. The four living creatures that guard the mercy seat. The Zoe or the Zoom, depending on whether you're speaking Hebrew or Greek. Remember their names, keep, guard, grab, and grasp. There they are. Don't you remember in Ezekiel when God brought his throne down? They were with him there. They're always there. How about the elders? The 12 apostles are with him, and the 12 patriarchs. Look, oh, we're all this. 7,000 elect, 144,000, a lot of people and saints from heaven, the elders and the living creatures around Jesus in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth.
Redeemed because we're not going to bow the knee to Satan.
For these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins.
Now the word woman is symbology. You know Jesus calls himself the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and that means men and women. Now I will want to put a parenthesis. God the Father is the husband, and the elect that did not go astray, predestined, foreknew, means a marriage term in Romans 8, or the wife. But so he uses this as symbology. And we're pretty soon going to study Mystery Babylon, the harlot. It means these people, 144,000, because of the testimony of the 7,000 elect, do not marry the first bridegroom that comes, who will be Satan with his Jesus costume on. You understand? So they remain virginal. They wait for the true Christ. Amen. Remember those virgins, five are wise, five are foolish. Amen.
These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth.
When Jesus comes, only the 7,000 elect, and then right with us, the 144,000 that we bring out of Babylon, they get saved. Only this group can gather around him. Nobody else. Remember Jesus said in the gospel, people are going to say, Jesus, Jesus, I did this for you. I did this. I was a big preacher here. I cast out devils. Get away from you. I never knew you. New is a marriage term. So they follow him. And in Ezekiel, the millennium chapters 44 on through 48, we find that wherever Jesus goes, the elect go. I mean, we are chained with him, bond slaves with Jesus.
These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
The first fruits means these are the people right here on earth when he comes. We're not talking about those who've already gone on and redeemed. Meaning the 144,000, the whole of God's people who come into the truth at the last minute. They do go astray for a second. Ezekiel 44 says they do go astray, but they repent while they're still in their flesh body. But still, that's not all the people who say they're Christian.
Five, and in their mouth was found no guile.
The word guile in the Greek means decoy or trickster. You know how duck hunters use decoys? I have a beautiful park next to my school with a lighted up fountain. It's so gorgeous. I prayed for that and it came to be. And it has a little lake there. And I looked out one day and there were these two beautiful ducks. Oh, ducks, I said. And then one day I looked out and one of the ducks was broken half in two and the bottom of him was a motor. I said, you're a decoy. You tricked me. Now, here's the thing. The 144,000 were tricked. They did start to go to the decoy, the first one coming, calling himself Savior, two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon, the devil with his Jesus costume on. But because of the testimony of the elect, by the Holy Spirit speaking through us, we grab them away. The elect pulled the 144,000 away from the decoy, who is Satan, saying he is Savior. Hallelujah. What a destiny we have.
But they without fault before the throne of God.
Not guilty. If they repent, once you repent, he says he doesn't remember your sins anymore.
6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth.
Now, when Jesus comes, this is called the day of the Lord, the first day of the millennium. Satan will be locked into the abyss, and 1,000 years of peace with Jesus on earth, with the very elect teaching around Jesus, a disciplined type of teaching. So that's what it means, the everlasting gospel. It'll be the whole truth. It'll be the mystery of God, not a fragment, not a verse, not a sermon, not a book about the book, but every word of God, the very elect teaching. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, on to the end, you can read about this. There are two kinds of priests that are going to be helping with this disciplined teaching. The first and are the ones that stay true, the very elect, the Zadok, that 7,000 group, plus that remnant that went on. I'm sure Pastor Arnold Murray will be one of those with them. But there's another set of priests. That will be the pastors and preachers of this 144,000 who teach the lifelike proverb, meaning well, but who repent at the last minute. They are going to assist the elect. Read it in Ezekiel. So see, there's a little bit of demotion. Right now, they're the head and we're the body. They won't even listen to us, but then we're going to be head, they're going to be the tail. It's going to be reversed. But I'm not gloating about that. I wish everybody would know the truth. I just wish we would just all know the truth and let all of this sin stop and heaven begin. Wouldn't you?
And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
In other words, Isaiah says, and the word shall cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. For 1,000 years, the elect, the Zadok, will be teaching with Jesus. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies. No babies born, no work. You can't say, I've got to go to work. The devil will be locked into the abyss, and we'll be in our spiritual bodies. It's a disciplined type of teaching of God's word. That will be what's going on then.
Saying, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come.
The great judgment day. Now we moved from the second coming of Jesus at the seventh trump. We moved through the millennium with a Zadok elect teaching and with those priests assisting us who went astray and Jesus. Now we come to the end of the millennium. And then comes into existence the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All right, it's the great judgment day. So see how we've moved from Jesus coming through the millennium. The lake of fire does not come into existence until the end of the millennium. The great judgment day. Here it is.
And to worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea. And the fountains of waters. 8, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Now, mystery Babylon, false teaching, it means in a spiritual sense, false teaching which seduces people and causes them to worship the devil. When will confusion, which means Babylon is a lie, the lifelike proverb, all the lies that we hear everywhere, when will this fall? This will fall when we go back just a little bit in our story here on the day of the Lord when Jesus comes, because Jesus is the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. So truth is coming. The devil will be locked into the abyss. Truth will be taught all through the millennium. No lies. Babylon is fallen. Confusion, lies are gone. No more.
9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixing into the cup of his indignation."
Now, when Jesus comes back this time, he's not going to be beaten and have his beard pulled out. He's not going to be crucified. He's coming back with 7 vials. The manuscripts say a wide mouth bowl, and he's going to pour it out. And at the lake of fire, he's really going to pour it out. This is the cup about which Jesus prayed in the garden. "My Father, if it be thy will, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done." Jesus was not a wimp. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross. But he knew that as soon as he paid the sin debt, which he came to do, and died and shed his blood for the remission of our sins and arose from the dead, that when he would come back at the second coming, which we've just studied here, that he would have to pour out that cup of wrath on all who had worshipped the devil. That means everybody except the 144,000, except the 7,000, and those with him. And then at the end of the millennium, the very bowl of wrath of Almighty God.
"And he should be tormented with fire and brimstone."
Now, what is the torment? Here it is. Now listen carefully so you won't get this mixed up. We're now at the lake of fire. All the teaching that's ever going to be done, all the chances have been given to everybody. As everybody lines up, the devil is going to walk in the fallen angels. You've got one more step to fall into the lake. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. Did you hear the word consuming? It means that he's so powerful as a fire that anything that goes in it is consumed. Gone. Okay. So as everyone takes their turn, the torment is, "Oh my Lord, I could have had eternal life. I could have worshipped Jesus, but I worship the devil." Isn't your torment always in your mind?
"In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb."
We shall all watch this. Jesus wants us to see this. Because since we have seen the devil at work, we want to see his finish.
11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever.
All right. Remember, they're tormented. Forever, get it straight, means blotted out. Now, when something's in the fire, but it's a consuming fire, God is so powerful that if it were iron, it would be dissolved. It would be nothing. Blotted out. When whatever's in the fire is not there anymore, we see smoldering smoke. The smoke says whatever was in the fire is forever blotted out, does not exist, is gone. Fini. Do you get it?
"And they have no rest day nor night."
Now you say, well, see right there, it says they're just frying away and sizzling away because they don't have any rest. Wait just a minute. In John 14, Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions." Mansions, Greek, mone, resting place. My dear brother-in-law, Wilbur Creech, just went home to that resting place. He's not snoozing. He's not sleeping. He's not in a coma. He's resting from the miserable life that we all have here with the devil trying to beat us up. And so what these people see as they go in, "Oh, my Lord, I could have had the resting place." Day and night just means forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a figure of speech. I'm never going to have that eternal rest. I could have had it day and night forever and ever, but I'm not going to enter into the rest. And I could have. Torment, torment.
"Who worship the beast and his image."
The image, of course, is the one world government, and it means to depend on the government. Again, I'm saying to all of you who are depending on the government, get three jobs if you have to, live in a pup tent, and I'll give you some of my bread, but for heaven's sakes, get off government dependency, because this is a trap for you. And of course, the beast is the Antichrist, pretending to be the Savior.
And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Now, all those who will walk into the lake of fire are not here anymore. Do you understand? Well, who is here? Here, I pray, is you. All of us who are saved, who are not deceived by Satan, who are saved, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, here we are. Those who endure to the end, who keep the faith of Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus shortened the Antichrist's reign in Mark 13, he said, "Will I find any faith when I come?" We kept the faith. We endured to the end. Ha, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So here we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal life.
13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
The only thing you can take with you after salvation are the works you do for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. For every time you share the truth or support the truth or tell the truth or get someone to Jesus, that is deposited in heaven. I'm sending mine on ahead. Amen. Don't lay up for yourself treasures down here. Revelation 19 tells us that the works, the righteousness of saints, righteous acts of saints, weave our robe that we're going to wear for all eternity. You want to be naked? I don't want to see you naked there. Let's get busy and win some souls and get the truth of God. Let's get the word of God, the real truth, to the whole world. Can we do that? Yes. Yes, we can.
14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the white cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man.
Here comes Jesus. Now in our story, he takes us back to the seventh trump when Jesus comes again. So here comes Jesus. Why does he have a sickle in his hand? A sickle is used for harvesting, but you harvest wheat or grain or oats. You do not harvest grapes. He's got a sickle to harvest wheat. Remember Jesus says it's harvest time. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Here comes Jesus with a sickle to harvest the wheat. Are you the wheat?
Having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. 15. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap.
All right, he says to the Lord Jesus, all right, it's on God's day planner here. It's time to reap the wheat.
For the harvest of the earth is ripe. 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
You know who the wheat will be? The 7,000 and the 144,000, the wheat. So he comes and he gathers the wheat around him. We gather back to him right here on planet Earth, not in the air. We're the wheat. Now, what about all the other people who are outside of Jerusalem?
17. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire.
Now this one is, this is orders from headquarters, the fire of God. Now one of these angels has a sickle. These are the harvest away.
and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle.
All right, this last one cries to the angel that has the sickle. He's telling him, not Jesus. Jesus has already used his sickle. We around him.
Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth.
Vine of the earth, clusters would be grapes. Now, first of all, you never use a sickle to harvest grapes. They would be smashed to smithereens. This is explained more clearly in the Overcomer Song of Deuteronomy 32, which says, their vine is not our vine. Their vine is the vine of Sodom, and their field is the field of Gomorrah. Their gall is, their grapes are of gall. Their children are bitter. And they are the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. An asp is a serpent. They are the children of the devil. Kenites, descendants of Cain. Cain being the child of the devil. So now an angel is said, now harvest them. But they're called grapes. And when you harvest grapes with a sickle, smash, smash.
For her grapes are fully ripe.
Oh boy, are they fully ripe. They're just about as wicked as they can be.
19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth.
You notice it said the vine of the earth? Now, John 15 says Jesus is the vine and we're the branch. He's the vine of heaven. So this is the vine of the earth. In other words, Jesus is our vine, but the devil who beguiled Eve there in the garden is the vine of the people of the earth, the children of the devil who are not saved.
And cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
180 miles to 200 miles of blood up to the horses' bridle. Now, you notice it said outside the city. Remember, Jesus will be in Jerusalem, will be there. Outside the city, there is a place called Megiddo, which means the gathering place of the crowd. What you just read, the blood up to the horse's bridle, is the battle of Armageddon. It's very quick. Jesus wins. Now, the acrostic psalm, Psalm 37, an acrostic is something God, a secret he gives to the elect to encourage us. And it says there that it looks like the wicked get away with it. But it says, into the smoke they shall consume, into the smoke they shall consume away. Father God, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus by your Holy Spirit, we know that your prophet Isaiah says your word does not return void, but accomplishes that which it pleases. I ask this word today, Father, will open ears to hear your truth. I ask your children will not wait until that time to come out of Babel, that they will hear the truth and receive the truth and be not deceived. Bless your people. Save your people. Awaken the sleeping church. Awake, O sleeper, through this lesson today. We thank you for your majestic word. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we love you with all our heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, right now, the most important thing is for you to trust Jesus as your Savior. Jesus paid the sin debt. He died. He arose. And he's coming back again, as you could hear from the lesson today. If you're not sure you're saved, please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me for my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Commission.
Commission.
Omission.
Omission.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Chain me to your heart.
Chain me to your heart.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To your larger kingdom.
Your territory.
Your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
I thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, my announcer's about to give you my telephone number. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, please feel free to call and leave that message on my machine. And, of course, I will be praying for you. For those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We ask that since Jesus bore your pains stop, cease, desist in Jesus' mighty name. Let congestion be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let throats be opened up. Let lungs breathe and hearts breathe, beat in Jesus' mighty name. Let bones be made strong. Miracles, signs, and wonders in your body. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. You might also like to tell me that. I want to invite each one of you here to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Each Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Don't forget Scott Merson and the Supernatural Camera. November 18th, 6:30 p.m. Come and be blessed. Now, I want you to win souls to Jesus, and I want you to get this real third-level truth out to the world. Let's band together and let's get it done. We need to get it done before it's too late. Remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. God bless and keep you. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
one spot on an empty canvas, one share in an empty room. No place for a revolution, and no hope if the signs are true. We stand at the edge of something, will we ever know what it is? Hold on, cause the wind is rising, and we can't get away from it. Shock from the failed emotion, no cause in a shadowed land. And we sing while the city's burning, but no room, no escape, no plan. We all never thought it would end this way. Giants fall. We're not gonna let it end this way. We need a hero to save us from ourselves. We need a hero to save us from ourselves. Save us from our fear. When the sirens wail, we need a hero here. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our fear. When the sirens wail.
Save us from ourselves. Save us from ourselves.
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the sample made divine for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. See his body, his blood, know that he has overcome every trial we will face. And none too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table. To communion, we
this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
I will soar with you above the storm. is to never worry for my life, and to know you is to never give in or compromise, and to know you is to wanna tell the world about you, 'cause I can't live without you. My brother when he's falling. To know you is to feel the pain of the broken hearted, 'cause they can't.